Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we are back in 7 o'clock hour. A lot of stuff to get to. Check in on a little high school football here as I'm going up to Palm Beach, Chaminade at Delray Beach Atlantic. So we'll be up there for our Fins High School game of the week tonight. We're doing a little traveling. I got a muck bowl a little bit later. I love the muck bowl, man.
That's a great game.
You know what? Of all the great tradition of games through the years, and some of them have died out. The old Ely, Diller
Soul Bowl.
Game.
Come Soul on. Bowl. That was the best.
They used to both have really good teams, and that died out. It just – and honestly, Jackson, Northwestern was a great one. They changed boundaries and
that's what happens.
And recruiting and everything else and that changed and that died out. I did catch the end of that at the old Orange Bowl and the big crowds and it was awesome. But I got to tell you, man. And this is for most people have never been over. I've heard about the Muck Bowl my whole life, and so last year I finally got to go on a Saturday night before a home game. And I was so glad I went. You know, you're giving up Saturday. My wife's going, you're what? I go, I'm going to see a muck bowl. I've always wanted to see this muck bowl. It's unbelievable. You know, you always hear about the muck bowl and the sugar cane country. And a lot of people never get out of South Florida to know. And everything. It is unbelievable. Between Pahokee and Glade Central.
It's not just a football game either.
Oh, no, it's everybody.
Cousins, right.
It's relatives. The food.
Tailgating, everything. Yes.
Oh, sweet potato pie and all the stuff that you're getting is homemade. The barbecue's going. You smell it right down to the 50-yard line. And getting in was tough because getting into the stadium was it's one lane. It was awesome. It was a throwback. I had to bring that because it is and by the way, both schools, of course, through the years, loaded.
A lot of talent has come out of there.
Pahokee and Glade Central and, you know, the guys that's names are on buildings and names on the field, and you're going, oh, he went here too, huh? So it is really cool. If you ever get a chance, you know, and you hear about the Muck Bowl and you haven't seen it, it's really cool. So anyway, we'll talk to Larry Bluestein about all that stuff and all the high school stuff that's going on here in the 7 o'clock hour. Josh Rosen, starting quarterback. And a lot of people have been wondering, let's go. Let's see what he's got. Now, I want to say this, and this goes for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I didn't think did badly. And you're going, Joe, he didn't do badly. You see his numbers. Yeah, did you see his offensive line? Did you see his receivers dropping 7 balls? So Josh Rosen got to have help, is my point, without getting into everything that happened last week or didn't happen. Josh Rosen's got to have help. And I got to tell you, for an offensive line that's struggling, the road is not its best friend because it gets loud. You do checkoffs. You don't hear them. So two guys block different plays. You don't get off the line of scrimmage because defensive linemen are taught go by movement of the ball, and you're going by cadence. And if you're off a half a cadence and the guy blows by you, gives a free shot to your quarterback and – the old kill shot, man. And so there's a lot of things that Josh is obviously aware of. He's played in big stadiums and knows all that stuff. So he gets a start. By the way, that wasn't the only bit of news yesterday. Taco Tuesday. No, Taco Charlton. Cowboys 2017 first-round pick, defensive end, was cut. Hasn't played well, obviously, and they let him go. Former defensive lineman for Michigan. Had a really good last year there, 13.5 sacks. Big guy, and I was wondering if that – now, he just got here. They just were able to get him off the waiver wire. But I'm wondering if he plays this week. Doesn't have a lot of time here. For sure next week. But it's a good pickup. It's a good pickup for the team. They should be picking up all these guys to see if any guy's got enough talent that somebody takes them in the first round, whether they worked out a couple years ago. Sometimes doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes a guy gets figures it out, the light goes off, and he realizes I need to pick it up, or a little different scheme, or a different coach, somebody in his ear, you know, whatever it is that gets somebody going. So we got nothing to lose with the amount of guys we've been bringing in. We picked up a new safety this week, cut an offensive lineman, and everything else. So we'll see if we can get Otako going here real soon.
I think you said it right. You got nothing to lose here. You got nothing to lose from a former first-round pick. You got nothing to lose picking up guys that are just not working out in other teams. Maybe all it takes is a little bit of a different location for him and a different team and a different scheme for him to fit into or feel more comfortable. Whatever the case may be, it doesn't work out, you let go of him. It works out, you got a steal of a first-round pick from a couple years ago that you could use when you're retooling, rebuilding, and just redoing everything from the ground up. Any of these pickups right now, I just feel like are okay for this team.
Because there's
upgrades everywhere needed, so why not take guys when they're there?
There's going to be a bunch more coming, either from – and now the spots from 50 to 53 every week with either guys getting injured, hopefully no more trades, but you're gonna be seeing guys coming in and out and guys that aren't playing. And so they'll rotate if guys they think – work when they have their coaches meetings and all that stuff. You're going to see probably almost a guy a week. A different guy will come in and be at the back end of this roster. But yeah, Taco Charlton was kind of a no brainer for this team. The other story coming out's really interesting. We shouldn't be surprised by it before I tell you this. So the word is, and it only makes sense, obviously, because the Miami Dolphins got the most firepower around the draft. Jalen Ramsey wants out. If you watched the game last night, he's made it real clear. Maybe the best corner in football, wherever you rank him, he is right up there with Jacksonville. He wants out. Former Florida State first-round pick, fifth overall, and he is a stud of a player. Wants to get paid. So Jacksonville's reached out, because the Dolphins got the most juice. Juice is in draft picks and all those things to see what it would take. So I'd ask everybody, knowing all the needs you have, they got a lot of money, so if they wanted to pay Jalen Ramsey next year, it wouldn't even dent the salary cap if you want to. So there's a bunch of different parts of this. How many of those good draft picks do you want to give up? Because if it was one for one, and you could afford Jalen Ramsey, who, by the way, will be making more money than Xavier Howard when his new deal gets done, if you're going to keep him. And how many picks, how many high draft picks are you willing to get up knowing all the holes that you have on this team? And it's hole to hole, man. I mean, it's not one or two. If you're walking across the field, you'd sprain your ankle every couple yards on the amount of upgrades you have to do on the football team.
But you can go position by position. You could find, you know,
almost everywhere.
Right, everywhere there. But I look at it as if it took the Houston first-round pick and something else, I would take a shot. But
what's a something else?
Well, a four, a five, something else. You're one of those throw-in picks that everyone throws in there. I'm not going to give up two ones or a one and a two for it. I'm not going to do that because you got to pay this guy more than you just paid Xavier Howard. He's going to demand more than that. He's going to want a bigger contract than that. He's going to want more guaranteed money. And you said the right thing earlier before the show even started. You kind of look at each position and have a cap for that position of what you want to pay for that position.
You got a budget. You got a budget on every position.
They're either at it or close to it because of Xavier's deal, and they're going to have to draft a guy and bring him in here. But if they're saying to themselves, this is the way we want to start our defense, I don't think anyone's going to complain about it unless you give up a couple of draft picks, high ones. You give up a one and it's the Houston one from this year or a future one, I would look into that. I would at least be intrigued by that. But you're talking about a bleep ton of money that this guy is going to want right away to sign this deal.
And then the other part, of course, is, and we've seen this a couple times already, you got to sit down with Jalen Ramsey and say, are you committed to staying here? Are you good here? You know what's going on. You know what the future. Here's our vision. Are you cool with our vision? Because that's all you can sell. This is our vision for down the road. And so Jalen Ramsey apparently got some really good teams calling him.
Oh, I can imagine.
So it just comes down to to all these different things. But I don't know about paying your two corners would end up being your two highest paid guys on the team to start with by far. And so you've overloaded at one position where you've just, well, that's great that you have that, but what do we do with our pass rush and all the other things in the offensive line? So we just kind of ask everybody out there, 56022, you get a call from Jacksonville, you make-believe general managers out there. What do you do if somebody's throwing Jalen Ramsey to come in town and play for you? Everybody's going to be calling Dolphins. Every disgruntled team that's got a disgruntled player that's really good is going to call the Miami Dolphins. Jalen Ramsey's 24 years old. 24 years old. He's like a BYU Mission age of coming into this league.
That's a very good example.
No, I mean, that wasn't a shot. But
no,
like,
that's good. That's good right there. He's 24. He's a superstar. This is a superstar in the league. This is either number one or number two cover corner in the league. Him and Gilmore are somewhere one or two, whatever way you want to rank them. Yeah, if you have a chance to get a guy, you have to look into it, especially this guy. The problem is that you have another top five cornerback on your team, and do you spend that much money at that one position knowing how many holes you have, glaring holes that you have to fill in the offseason? The text machine, real quick, let me read you a couple of them. 56022, 56022, the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Dolphins would trade Howard, too, if they could at this point before they got Ramsey. Someone texted in. Someone said, what's the point? You're 3 to 4 years away from being good. Don't waste it on Ramsey. Do not trade for Ramsey now. Stall and wait. The other thing is, would Jalen Ramsey want to play for this team, knowing what this team looks like right now?
Well, we said that. There are going to be a few guys that say no thank you.
Give up a number two, you're going to draft a corner anyway. At least Ramsey is established. If they would take a two, I'm sure the Dolphins would.
Listen, there's a chance that Ramsey, first of all, you said second-round pick?
No, that ain't happening.
Please don't embarrass us by even – you're smarter than that. Don't throw that out. This guy's a top-five pick and one of the best players in – and he's 24 years old. He's got a little value. So,
I agree with you guys. I'd give up Houston's one and maybe a fifth, no more than that. Well, if that's the case, that'd be great. Another one says, we do not need Ramsey. Do not trade a first-rounder for Ramsey. We need to build through the draft.
Yeah.
This defeats our whole purpose.
Well, that's the other thing. So the sexy girl walks in the room. You go, no, don't go away from your plan. You've been dating that up. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know what she looks. Don't do it. Stick to your plan.
Shiny object in the corner.
I can upgrade a little bit right here. So
we need 10 Ramsey, someone texted in. Hell no, he's not worth it. Can't trust him. He's not going to be. Can't trust he won't be a whiny prima donna and one out down the road also. Jalen in South Beach is very dangerous, guys.
I don't know anything about him.
Neither do I.
Personally, in his private life, so I'm not going to even attempt that. But all I know is he's really – really good and loves to lock up with the best players. But you know, the weird thing, because he's saying it has nothing to do with it. He's playing on a really good defense.
That defense
really,
is
really
sick.
Really good defense. So, and you want out? He's saying it has to do with the front office. So, I don't know. We'll find out there. 56022, give us your thoughts on Jalen Ramsey. And is it something you try to put together, or would you run from it and say, nope, we're sticking with the game plan, man. Sticking with the game plan through the draft, or I'm going to be a pain in the aft. Anyway, we got to go to break here. When we come back, a little Larry Bluestein, a little high school football, get you caught up on everything going on, including our top 10 teams and everything else. We'll have all that for you coming up in just a minute, including one of the great defensive performances last week by a university coach that we know very well.
All right, it's Friday morning. It's time to talk a little high school football. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now, and we're going to talk to Larry Bluestein, the king of high school football down here in South Florida. Blue, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Another week. You know what? You wait all season or all year for this, and we're already at week five. I mean, it goes so quickly, and
yeah.
Unfortunately for us, but you know, you got to enjoy every minute. And, you know, Joe and I talked yesterday about this week almost never happened, especially in Miami-Dade County. They had the officials were going to strike, you know, over a wage increase in their travel. And we almost had yesterday wiped out. We almost had today wiped out. And thankfully, they averted that and came to agreement yesterday at 3 o'clock. But we have football.
Yeah. Hey, Blue, real quickly, I don't even know how much those guys make now and what they were looking for. Did you ask?
Well, this was on a travel. For travel, they, you know, their wages for each game, I think, was already an issue that was taken care of. But they wanted to make sure that they had, you know, a lot of them travel and they weren't getting the money that they were asking
right.
for. And a lot of this comes out of their own pocket. And I understand that. And
yep.
listen, I'm on their side, and you don't want anybody to lose wages. But and there was such a split, guys, on this because people were, you know, angry because they were using the high school football season, the kids and the coaches as hostage. In the middle of the, but everyone goes, well, that's the only way you get everybody's attention. And, you know, there was a lot of sticking points. I, for one, figured that you have 9 months to negotiate this. And now that everybody knows the plight, you know, before it was behind closed doors and nobody knew anything. And then certainly I can understand them wanting to put it out in the open and try to make everybody aware. But at the same time, you know, you had the potential of really hurting a lot of kids and a lot, you know, that need these games and need this exposure.
But there is a shortage of officials for everybody to bitch. And by the way, our NFL officials, they got enough problems of their own, so our poor high school guys. Hey, we got a lot to get to. First of all, you were at the Edison Central game. Edison jumped out 7-0, and then what happened last night?
then the floor went down.
Oh, Central got a little salty.
A little bit. You and I were talking, and I said, wow, look at this. Edison went right down, made it 7-0, and then before you know it, it's 44-14. And I didn't, you know, Luther Campbell's the type of guy that, you know, he wants to make everything an issue, and he did. And Central didn't like the way they were, you know, that he was saying how they were, you know, they were 95th Street, which they refer to as Central.
I was just on 95th.
It's not as good as everybody thinks. Well, they are. they are as good as everybody
thinks.
So
Uncle Luke got him going a little bit last night, and Central went, what? Used to be one of our coaches? Hell no, you ain't treating us like that, so.
Exactly. But, you know, game played. Central flex some muscle. They end up winning the game pretty convincingly. And certainly it's going to take a lot to stop Central from getting to state. They're on a little bit of a roll in 6A.
Joe brought up earlier, and we were talking, because I know Joe's going to be out in the muck, I guess, tonight for one of his games.
I won't be in the muck tonight. We're going to the Muck Bowl later.
Muck Bowl later. But I wanted to ask you this, because you brought up the Muck Bowl and we were talking about it. And I always tease Joe on the air, and I'm like, one day I'm going to make Blue give his all Traz Powell team, you know, from all the games you've ever seen down there. But what about the Muck Bowl, too, and the great players that come out from there? I mean, we talk a lot about, obviously, Dayton and Broward, but that game's got to get a little more – or those teams out there got to get a little more publicity.
It's diminished quite a bit from what it was, you know, back in the Lewis Oliver days. And then, you know, certainly Pahokee and then Glade Central have always had some tremendous. Jesse Hester, who's their head coach, you know, played in the league, played at FSU. He's been a big part of that as well. So, yeah, it's been bigger in the past. I mean, I've been to like 10 or 12 of them, and one of the best I can remember when they went back and forth at Pahokee when it was about 10 years ago when they had both teams were loaded with talent. And certainly, guys, it's a showcase event. It's a small town contest. You don't see many of those down here because we have such, you know, you have a Central and a Northwestern that could get 11,000, but down the road at, you know, at the Hendrick Stadium over there, Mylander, you can get 500. So it's kind of like a mixed down here, but when those two teams get together, certainly, and you talk about an all-Muck Bowl team, think of anybody that's played at Glade Central or Pahokee for the last 25, 30 years, 40 years.
Ricky Jackson, and Anquan Boldin.
They've competed in that game.
Yeah. Those are pretty good ones to start off with.
They got plenty. Hey, so we got all kinds of stuff to get to. First of all, what the heck happened to Columbus High School? Booker T went and didn't treat the Catholics very nicely, man.
Two ways to look at that. Columbus played a really good South Dade team and lost to them, and I think that everybody, and I mean everybody, has underestimated the job that Booker T has done. This is a team that can play with basically anybody. They have talent, a smaller school, but what are you going to do? I mean, it's a 4A school, but certainly Ben Hanks has taken over, you know, as head coach, former Miami High, former Florida Gator, and Zach, his co-coach, is Darren Mikolo, who's played in the NFL for a little bit and a former Miami High and University of Florida guy. So, plus all the coaches they had on staff for all those years. And I will say it over and over again, you will not find an inner-city team anywhere in the country that's more disciplined than this. They don't make mistakes. They don't taunt. They don't talk. They play great football. They went down and just took it to Columbus. And there wasn't a person in that stadium that won't tell you that Booker T was the much better team on that day. And we'll certainly, tonight they play North Miami, but then after that, next week it's IMG. And we've got a good chance in 4A to have a really good playoffs with Cardinal Gibbons and also Gulliver Prep that's undefeated. And you have a lot of really good programs in 4A. But that's what went wrong. I think that, after a week off, Columbus will get the wheels back on this thing and then make a legitimate run in 8A.
Hey, were you surprised University went over to Western and won that game?
Yeah, sort of, because I thought that Western had, Western being an 8A school and, a bigger school with more kids, more depth. Because if you remember a couple weeks ago, without Nick Vadiato, the quarterback that you finally got a chance to see, really good quarterback.
Holy smokes, can he throw it?
They lost to MacArthur, and got shut out. So you figure, I was a little bit surprised, but anything that Coach Luque and the university school does over there is no surprise. There, another team will be in the mix in 4A as well.
All right, and the other one I wanted to ask you about, I am going to that Chaminade at Delray Atlantic tonight. Am I in for a good game?
I think you're in for a great game. And people down in South Florida, Miami-Dade, have no clue about Atlantic. That's Mike Rumpf's school. He went there. They've had talent over the years. This is a good 7A team, and I think this is the type of team that it won't beat St. Thomas, but definitely will get their attention. They're extremely good on defense. I think you're in for an outstanding defensive matchup. Chaminade lost to a really good Carroll City team. Not a great Carroll City team, but a really good one last week, 14-13 on a controversial type of play. So they're going into that Atlanta game tonight with a lot of, optimism, but a tough place to play, and you'll see the type of talent on the field this evening. You're going to have a lot of major college kids there. Atlantic has always been, a program that will get your attention, and we know Chaminade Madonna with three University of Miami commitments on it will certainly bring their best, too. So, yeah, you have a really good game.
All right, you ready for the top 10 here? Why we're rolling along? Let's jump into it. Tell me how, you've never been shy with me, Blue, so let me know. St. Thomas Aquinas, 1.
No doubt.
Central, 2, just slightly. And Central Northwestern in a place. I don't want anybody at Northwestern upset. Central, 2. Northwestern, 3. South Dade still undefeated, 4. Booker T got to move up with some of the wins they've had over Apopka and what they're able to do to Columbus. Jump up to 5. And guess what? We kind of counted Patrick Surtain's team out. And old Pat comes in at number 6. He's got a big game with Cardinal Gibbons coming up. So I slap them right there at number 7. They're playing better. University coming back. They got that unbelievable quarterback who can throw it with like ridiculous. Yep. Comes in at 8. Chaminade at 9, even though they did lose last week to Carroll City. And I got Western at 10.
Okay. Western's got to prove themselves. They lost last week, and there's a couple of other schools that want to jump back up there. Cardinal Gibbons is a team that you have to watch out for. But not a bad 10. But those change every week, and that's all the fans listening. Don't get Don Joe because things change. Next week we could be talking about a different 10, but that's fair. Western's got some proving to do. I mean, they have Cooper City, and they have a couple of other teams. But last week was the game, Joe, that they needed to win to get a couple of it was a pride game. It doesn't mean anything more than pride, but every game.
Oh no, it meant a lot to people in Davie,
right?
It meant a lot to Davie.
Fight for Davie.
Private versus public.
Blue, what's one team that Joe missed out of the 10? Who's the one team that's missing from that would have been on your top 10?
Well,
he might have gone Dillard on me. He might have Dillard.
Yeah, you know what? But Dillard will have a chance tonight. Dillard's done a great job. They're 4-0. And even Miami Central said that last night, of all the teams that may be standing in their way to get, you know, and I'm just saying, hypothetically, it would be Dillard because they've got talent. They have a good Stranahan team tonight. We'll see. It's a good old-time rivalry. There's a few teams, guys. I mean, but like I said, for right now, I think you did a great job. But Heritage is certainly kind of – isn't that crazy? You've won three
up,
out
man.
Of the last
yep.
4 years. You won a state title, and you're trying to be under somebody's radar. But Pat Surtain and his gang there have done an awesome job. And like I said, St. Thomas has got one game next week. I think that's the only game. I mean, they have Miramar tonight, but next week they have Carroll City. So that would be their only other obstacle in the regular season. And they have Deerfield down the road, too. Deerfield's a team, too, to kind of watch. They went up to Louisiana last week and slapped a defending state champion around really good. So I think Coach Jevon Glenn's got his team going. There's a bunch of teams that are in the mix, but Palmetto's right there. They play Southridge, a team that they don't beat very often. That's coming up tonight. Big games. And Northwestern, as you mentioned, is on the road in Valdosta against Lowndes County, who is 42-2 at home over the last 10 years. So
why do our damn schools keep taking? We got to tell Northwestern and Central take some time out from all these national games.
They won't get national recognition. If you play the local teams, you don't get much recognition.
Yeah,
and just as an aside, for the people who, like myself and Joe, who thought that St. Francis Academy of Baltimore was like a college team who would never got beat, well, I'll tell you what, they went out to Mater Dei in Southern California last week and got beat just as bad
Unbelievable.
As they beat Central.
Wow. That is really? Blue, we got to let you run. But, Blue, thank you so much, man.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
You brought your A game today, Blue. That's always good here in the morning. Thank you very much. So Larry Bluestein with us. By the way, we go right from high school to finding out and picking some games here, man. We're going to one of the best in Vegas. Brandon Long's going to join us. We'll talk to him coming up here in a few minutes about some games, see if we can make you a few money. Gambling's where it's at right now, man. Huh?
Fantasy, gambling, the whole deal.
See what's going to happen in the near future. And all these leagues are going to have to face it going, what the hell are we going to do, man? We got to
be in each stadium sooner or later.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's one of my favorite times of the week. It's Friday. First off, we're happy on Friday to start off with.
But you're looking to hit a couple of
games
this
weekend.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get a little action this weekend here. And
hit some, and you want some help from somebody that's
an
really
expert,
good.
Not somebody, just me, myself.
Somebody that can walk it and talk it,
right.
Or talk it and walk it.
So we bring on our friend, Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com. He's host of Believe in the Sharp Edge, the Believe Podcast Network. He does a podcast there. BrandonLang.com is awesome as well. Brandon, Brandon, we live in a world right now where there's two NFL games this weekend that have 21.5 or more point spreads. I never thought we'd live in a world like this, but we do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One's probably the right side of the game. You can bet everything you own on. The other one, you just kind of step back and say they've never been in this spot before. Let's see if they can get her done. I said last week on your show that if New England beat Miami badly, I said they'd probably be laying 24 against the Jets. And then they beat Miami soundly, but the line was only 17.5, and I just jumped on it. And then everybody saw the Jets. Everybody saw the Jets play horrible on Monday night, and the line went to 22.5, 23, 23.5, and it's working its way to the 24 number. Here's the scary thing about New England. Let me take your listeners back in history. The year they went undefeated, they won 11 straight games to start the year straight up and against the spread. They covered 11 straight games.
Wow.
To start the year. Now, this gets better. Now, they covered it by an average of 18 points above whatever the Vegas number was.
Whoa.
So, Vegas could, they, So Vegas couldn't get it right with them week one, week two, week three, week four, week five. So week 11, they came out of their bye week. They were laying 19 on the road to Buffalo and went 52-10. And after that, Vegas said, that's it. And the next week, Philly came off their bye week with A.J. Feely filling in for Don McNagg. They were a 24-point home favorite against the Eagles, and they won by 7 and didn't cover. I feel like this is the same thing. The difference is this week's not going to matter. This to me, Luke Falk, short week, rookie quarterback against this. Because here's the scary thing about it, and you guys watched the game last week. Brian Flores won you a Super Bowl as your defensive coordinator. He's part of the Patriot family.
Yeah.
He breaks bread with Billy the Hoodie. He, you know, this is a love fest between Bill and Brian. And up 36-0, he's got Tom Brady still in the game with 4 minutes to go throwing a touchdown pass. Now, if that's the way you treat your boy, do you really think that you go against whatever the number is? I just get this feeling, this is like a Dabo Sweeney Clemson-type mentality where Belichick's just going to – think about it. The line on Pittsburgh was 6.5. They won by 27. 20.5 above the Vegas number. Line on Miami, 18. They won by 25. That right there is another 25 above the Vegas number.
Right.
So you know, think about that, man. It's so I think New England just lay it in the final score. I'll be shocked if the final score of that game is not 52-3.
Well, it's so funny you said that because I'm doing the game last week and I'm going, wow, all these teams are worried about their quarterback getting injured. And 3 minutes left and Tom Brady is throwing passes because they want to score again. And that's supposed to be their guy that, as you said, help them win a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, that defense is crazy good. Hey, by the way, enough of all that stuff. I want to ask you, we got some other games to look at, and I wanted to ask you, the Rams and the Browns. I just looked at that last night. I said, got to ask you about that. What's your gut on that one?
Trap game. Browns are now back in the familiar role of a underdog and a home dog at that. 3-1 last year as a home dog. Think about the Rams. They start the year flying all the way to Carolina. Then they fly all the way back home to take on the Saints in a very emotional, big hype game. Now they're back on a plane flying all the way to the East Coast. They didn't really look all that great at Carolina. And Drew Brees goes down against the Saints. The Browns beat up on a bad Jets team, got caught up in the hype to open the season against Tennessee. I think more focused now. I think now we're going to see the Browns team that we expected to see. I think they righted a lot of wrongs, and I like them this week. Plus, I bought the half. I took 3.5. Always make sure you get that half working for you if the dog. I took the Browns at home plus 3.5.
I love it. Yeah, that's a really it is an intriguing game. How about this one? What about Baltimore KC? It's going to be a fun
best game of the week. Best game of the week.
It's got to be the best game of the week, but what side are you taking there?
They definitely were looking ahead to this game because they let Kyler Murray come in there and go 27-40 for 3 and change, and inside Baltimore's 5-yard line, 3 times kick field goals as a 13-point dog. Probably Arizona should win that game outright. People are sleeping on Arizona, so keep an eye on that team. Todd Bull, Vance Joseph doing a great job, defense coordinator. Arizona's sneaky, better than people think. That being said, this was the coming out party for Lamar Jackson last year. You guys remember the fourth down conversion by Mahomes? That was just that kept that drive alive. That led to Casey coming back. They don't convert that. They lose that game outright. So I've always said this about the Ravens. They are such a good dog to have on your side with points. They just do. They were 6-2-1 last eight against the spread since 2018. And they also covered their last 4 on the road. Sneaky dog here. I'm going to buy the half point, make sure I get 7. And I think this is the game we see Casey's defense get pushed around a little bit. I'm going to take Baltimore plus points.
Oh, man. All right, in the give me a winner in college, will you? I was going to jump into all these games, but I'm running out of time here. Give me one you like in college.
That's fine, because I'm on fire in college. I went to Tulane last night when I had no shot. I actually went to bed. Almost broke my phone down 28-14. The podcast is so bad because I was crying about Tulane not being a winner at 28-14, and now they won and covered. So what are you going to do? Georgia names it over Notre Dame. Keep an eye on SMU plus the points over TCU, and another sneaky dog. Don't sleep on Pitt plus the points at home over UCF. UCF, first time out of the state of Florida this year. Pitt, nice little home doggy barking for you.
Really?
Wow.
Boy, difference in speed.
I know,
speed.
But listen, people, but they're at home. Remember, this is a step up in conference. You're just beating up on nobody. Stanford's not that good. USC blew out Stanford.
Yep.
So before, you know, don't place the eye test on Stanford. Don't do it. Pitt played Penn State tough last week. Narducci is vicious as a dog. They're at home. UCF on the road, and you're getting some solid points here. It just seems like the right side of the game is going to be Pitt.
All right, real quickly before we let you go, Carolina and Arizona in the NFL. Did Arizona open up +3.5, and now they're laying 2.5?
Last time I checked, they're still 2.5-point dog.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure I did.
Last night.
Right.
No, I don't. Because I did. I looked at that last night. I don't understand it. They were good to me week one against Detroit, +2.5. Home dogs, can't go wrong with them in the NFL. Jacksonville last night, +1.5. You get a home dog, take it, because they covered about a 70% clip. I love Kyler Murray. I like this Arizona team. I think they'll make you some money as a home dog again this week.
Brandon, we'll bug you again next week.
Man,
thanks,
Brandon,
as always.
A game again today. Thank you.
Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com, host of Believe in the Sharp Edge on the Believe Podcast Network, and my favorite because he loves to beat his chest when he wins a game.
You know, the problem is my eyes. I
know.
I gamble. I'd lose so much. I think
you don't look at the little things, the trends.
UCF's,
you don't know that stuff.
I'm starting to buy the UCF. I'm drinking a heavy dose of UCF Kool-Aid.
First time out of state, he was giving you pointers why
I
to get
know,
away from
but
him.
They're so Pitt. Fast. That
I
team's
know.
Got so much team speed. So you think Pitt can get physical with them?
I don't know. Maybe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.